If we take a look at diesel fuel, that means people are ordering goods, heavy goods, and things that need to be shipped from trucks or ships or trains. And that's a much better barometer for the real health of the economy. Are people moving products around? Are people ordering? All right. Welcome back to the show. This is episode number 22 of the Food Service Distribution Podcast. As always, I'm your host, David Layton. And we're going to jump into a couple of things that are probably top of your mind if you are in the restaurant or food service distribution industry. Jumping right into it. Here's the topic. Are we out of the woods? Are we out of the woods with this COVID-19 coronavirus lockdown pandemics? I know restaurants have been opening over the past few weeks, in some places over the past month or so. And we are starting to see news come in about potential second round or just more cases that are getting that are starting to spring up specifically in restaurants. So before I jump into that, I wanted to zoom out a little bit and just take a look at the bigger picture, the macro picture, but keep it local to the United States. All right. So one thing that my listeners would have known by now is that I talk about this often. We are living in unprecedented times where the stock market, the equities market, what we see on CNBC and NBC on any of the news outlets is completely disconnected from what we are seeing day to day in our lives, in the restaurant industry, in the distribution industry, just in the real economy. So we're seeing a massive separation. If you look at something that is in the investing world referred to as a PE ratio or a price to earnings ratio, if you take a look at what the valuation of companies are compared to what the book value is or what they would be worth if they were liquidated tomorrow, there's about a 30x gap. Okay. So if I was worth a dollar, my stock is trading at $30. That's incredibly unusual. It's happened. This type of disconnect happened around the year 2000 and the dot-com bubble happened in 2008. And I'm not saying that this is the situation that we're in, that this is the top of a bubble. But what we're seeing with the news and Robinhood traders and Hertz trading at, after they filed for bankruptcy and all this stuff, it's definitely not what you see at the beginning of a bull market or the beginning of a healthy stock market run. So I'm not going to jump too far into that, but I needed to lay the groundwork for my first bullet point here. And that is realizing, are we out of the woods from an economic standpoint in the real economy, or is this something that is that we're potentially still going to need to deal with or that we're still in the thick of? And there's one metric here that we can look at that is absolutely home. Is absolutely something that we can wrap our minds around being in the distribution industry or being in the restaurant industry. And that is, what is the usage of oil? Specifically, what is the current usage of diesel, right? So if we see usage of oil or of gasoline, regular oil that you would put in your car, getting back to normal levels, which it almost is, pre-COVID levels, all that means is that people are driving around. Are they driving to work? Are they driving to drive-thrus? Are they just going for drives? Are they going on vacation? What are they doing? It's hard to tell. But if we take a look at diesel fuel, that means people are ordering goods, heavy goods, and things that need to be shipped from trucks or ships or trains. And that's a much better barometer for the real health of the economy. Are people moving products around? Are people ordering, right? So if you remember from some of my past videos on supply chain, we need diesel fuel to get stuff from the manufacturer to the vendors, the redistributors, to the distributor, and then to the restaurant, right? So all of our trucks are all powered off of diesel. So that's a good indicator of how healthy the economy is, or are people placing orders and receiving orders. So right now, we are about 20% below the five-year average of daily consumption in the United States. So regular pre-COVID on a regular daily average over the past 5 years or so, we go through as a country about 20 million barrels of diesel fuel. So right now we're going through about 16 million, right? So when we're looking at the equities market or the stock market, we're looking at these exchange traded funds that are reaching or passing all-time highs, but then we're seeing real economic activity at around 20% below. It doesn't add up. There's disconnect. And I'm not entirely sure, and I wouldn't want to try and predict what that means or give any sort of advice on what that means. I'm just pointing it out. There's major disconnects, and that's something that you need to think of. If you are in any sort of business that relies on or works within the supply chain, or I should even say just in the real economy. So that's everyone. Everyone should be affected by this. And it's just good to know these types of things. This is the environment that we're in today, the 18th of June, 2020. That's what I'll say on that piece. So think about it. Something that's good to keep in the back of your mind as you're making decisions into the next week, into the next month, into the next year, 5 years, etc. So second thing that I wanted to talk about that I hinted towards at the beginning of this, restaurants around the country are starting to reclose, which is extremely frustrating to see. We're just getting back on track in a lot of areas. A lot of states opened up earlier, and those states seem to be hit a little bit harder than ones that have that stayed closed a little bit longer. All right. So there's an article I need to give a hat tip to here from Restaurant Business Online. That's what really pointed some specific examples that I wanted to go through, pointed those out to me. And basically, they released this today. Just as workers test positive, restaurants around the country are closing for a second time. So a few of the examples that they gave here, and it's pretty heartbreaking to read this and frustrating. And I know if you're listening to this, it's frustrating for you too, because this is what we were hoping did not happen. And we're not sure if it's a second wind or what it is, but here are some examples. In Jacksonville, Florida, Lynch's Irish Pub reclosed after more than a dozen customers said that they contracted coronavirus there, and 7 employees tested positive. So that's a lot. That's a lot of people, a lot more than we were seeing in one specific area the first round when this was happening in January, February, March. In Houston, there's a growing list, and again, this is just a small clip of what's actually happening around our country right now, but a growing list of restaurants have reclosed for sanitizing. Yaga's Cafe said on Facebook that multiple employees have been found to have the coronavirus. I will meet with the health department on Monday, said the owner. They're going to get through the next steps to reopen, and they weren't quite sure what that is right now. More on that in a minute. In the Phoenix area, where coronavirus cases continue to rise, a large number of restaurants have opted to reclose in the past week after employees tested positive for the virus. So there were several different restaurants in Phoenix, and they were leading. Last week, they were leading the country, Arizona as a state, in new cases. And I can tell a personal story. I have a brother and sister-in-law that live down. Actually, I have a lot of family members that live in Phoenix and in Arizona. That's where I'm from. And my brother was going to the gym about 3 weeks ago. There were private gyms that opened. Nobody was wearing masks. They were going out. They were doing all this stuff, opening up faster than anybody else. And I didn't really know what to make of it and just thought, okay, well, hey, we may have made it through this thing and we'll see what happens. So now we're starting to see the effects of that. This last story here, near and dear to my heart, in Seattle, Fremont Brewing, which the Interurban IPA from Fremont Brewing is my favorite beer of all time. Selfishly, it sucks to see this. But what's more important is that they closed down and handled this. That's the most important thing here. So Fremont Brewing closed indefinitely just 10 days after reopening its patio. It was one of Seattle's first restaurants to reopen for dine-in services. An employee tested positive for COVID-19 on Tuesday. And then they're actively seeking medical counsel, make sure they're taking the strongest measures, They go through, and the theme of all of these restaurants and bars, breweries that are reopening and that are finding new cases, the theme here is that they are struggling to find some consistent guidelines or some consistency to what they're supposed to be doing when they identify new cases. So everyone's trying to figure out what they do. What they should do, Should they put it out publicly? Obviously, close and sanitize and do all that. But the point is, even on the CDC.gov website, there are, I think they call them guiding principles. They don't even call them guidelines or, you know, this is what you should do. So I am of the belief that you should operate your business how you see fit. There should be something like guiding principles and just make the best judgment. If you do have cases, shut everything down and sanitize and then get back to the drawing board. But a lot of people are very nervous about that. They're very scared. They feel like they need to rely on somebody to tell them what to do. In a lot of cases, that's probably true. People do need to have somebody walk them through something like this, especially when we're looking at a potentially deadly virus. And people just feel a little bit lost. They're not quite sure what to do. So we're going to see a lot more of this happen over the next couple of weeks. You're probably already seeing it in the news. You're probably already seeing it. But if you're not, it's something to think about. So if you're going out where you are, be careful. Still wear a mask. Try not to touch surfaces. Wash your hands. Do all that. Obviously, I'm not the first person to tell you that. But if you own a restaurant, just be very cognizant. Make sure that you are doing everything you can to avoid the spread of this, because it seems like it may be coming back. The last thing that I wanted to close out on is something that's a little more positive. Well, depending on where you sit and what your perspective is, it's just a reminder to stay adaptable, stay creative, and keep your eyes open for opportunities. Right, a lot of people don't have the opportunity or do not have the cash flow to capitalize on opportunities that are presenting themselves right now. But as we go through the remainder of the year, we're going to see a lot of stories like this one. And I guess it starts back in 2018, 2019. Retail businesses, clothing stores have always, I guess department stores have been having a hard time keeping customers coming in and upping their online presence and competing with companies like Amazon that are doing a lot of this, you know, next day shipping right into the house. So Macy's went through in 2018, 2019, and they renegotiated their portfolio, their real estate portfolio. And one of the locations that they decided to get rid of or, you know, close down and sell, I think they sold it back to, could have sold it back to the shopping center, but it was in Redmond, the Redmond, Washington, up near Seattle, town center. The Macy's closed down there, and they've been closed down since a little over a year, since March of 2019. March or April. And this week, Amazon just announced that their AWS division, that's Amazon Web Services, a lot of like hosting and cloud computing, they decided to lease that building that Macy's used to be in and put their engineers in there. And they did it because they I mean, as big teams like that, that are all, you know, working on computers and coding and engineering, they want to be somewhere near retail locations. They want to be somewhere near, you know, food and retail, and the high ceilings and the accessibility and the proximity to Amazon's other locations in Seattle. It's just everything just was perfect about that setup specifically for Amazon. Now, the reason why that could be controversial is because I know Amazon is a huge company. It's massive. Their stock price is back at, you know, I think 2,400, 2,600, something like that, all-time highs. But they, as they continue to grow, they're taking over a lot of businesses that are consolidating. So I've talked about this in the past, what we're going through here, what we have been going through, especially in the restaurant industry. But we're going to see it through all industries. We're going to continue to see it through this year into next year, is this concept that I've referred to as consolidation to quality. And that is market share going from the worst asset allocators to the best, or the worst business models to the best. So the people that will get through this are the ones that are adaptable, that are trying to save money as much as they can, and be able to apply that in a way that's going to apply that in a more future thinking, long-term, low time preference type perspective. So Amazon's doing that. They're taking over. I did think it was interesting that they didn't purchase it. They just signed a lease. Regardless, commercial real estate has probably never been as high as it is right now. So we're probably going to start to see that go down, and we'll see banks and tech companies and stuff come in and start buying up real estate. But we haven't gotten there yet. So That's really the only thing that I wanted to, finish on. And I wish that this was more positive. I'm not trying to be negative, but just trying to put out what I'm seeing and what I'm thinking about so you can have a clear understanding of where you are in your business and where your business sits compared to everyone else and where the industry is correlated to the real economy and the fake economy or the stock market. All right. So lots of stuff to think about. I appreciate you watching. As always, if you find anybody or if you know anybody that would benefit from this type of information, share it. Head on over to Twitter, visit me at Food Service Pod or at DM Late. I've had a lot of cool conversations with people lately. I've talked about this. I'm in two different realms. I love food service distribution, supply chain, but I love the other side, the tech and business and economics and, just communicating with people on Twitter and having these conversations has been absolutely fantastic. I love it. And if you are listening on Spotify or Anchor or Apple or wherever you are, go over to YouTube. These are all videos. These are all videos, and I am putting an equal amount of time into both the podcast and the video version of this at the same time. And if one does not work, I will just do the other. So right now, it looks like the majority of everyone consuming this content likes to just listen to it. My videos are not really taking off. They're not getting a lot of views, but it takes a lot of extra work to go through and edit two different things. So if the videos are working, if this is bringing any value, I'll keep doing it. If not, this will be a audio only type podcast. And I think a lot of that might change when we start rolling interviews into this. So I've got a really cool interview lined up. I'll share that next week, but we are on track to keep going with this thing. So I appreciate it. As always, I'm going to throw, if you're watching this, I'm going to throw a recommended video right here and you can subscribe over here and tip your waitress. I say it every time, but just do it.